I would like to think of them as being four or five different hearts. Hearts of the heart of man. And see what kind of heart we have. Chapter 18 of Luke and verse 9. Is that too loud? And he spake, the Lord Jesus, referring to him, this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now we'll omit verse 15, the parable about the little child, maybe referring to it in the comments later on. And we'll skip over to verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, the Lord Jesus, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now let's look at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked by what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, in chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was very rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe that should conclude the reading for the present time. Now we have before us this morning especially four individual hearts. And we should really think serious upon these individuals this morning. It may be that your heart, I'm sure, is like one of them. No maybe about it. It's positive that it is. One of these persons are you and one is me, like us. And also we'd like to remember that these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are not my words. These are no human being's words, but the words of the Lord God. And that would make it twice as important, doubly important, all the world of importance, because we should give attention to the Word of God. And you know, the Lord, He's the God of all wisdom, and He knew how to explain the Scriptures and the heart of God to human beings everywhere. He was never lost to proclaim His message wherever He went. In chapter 10, and I don't want you to turn to it for the sake of the turning of pages, but we read these words in 10 and 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now the Lord Jesus, we know that in the beginning he had John the Baptist to go and prepare the way of the Lord. And John repented, or preached the baptism of repentance. Now we read there in chapter 10, if you go back in chapter 10, that the Lord sent his disciples out make the way where he would come. And you know, we read of different locations this morning, one at the temple. We read of a dear man there in Jericho and in other places where the Lord would come. And there was the blind man that sat begging. And I believe that the reason Zacchaeus climbed up into a tree before the Lord got there, and the man who sat by the wayside begging, when he heard who it is, he cried for mercy that he had probably heard by the hearing of the ear in days gone past by the disciples of the Lord that Jesus would come to where they live. And that is very precious to me. The Lord has come to our hearts. He's come to the place where we lived. The Spirit of God and the Word of God has come from the east to the western hemisphere to right where we are. And the Word says, the last verse that we read, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Word of God goes forth into all the world this morning, and we can thank Him for it as we turn the airwaves on our dial and hear the gospel going out. And we need to be careful the word that we hear, but the truth of the gospel is going out into the world this morning. And the word of God is that has come to your ears too. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that you and I might be saved. I remember when the word of God came to me very well. It was 34 years ago on Thursday, January 22nd, on a cold day like this in Dover, Delaware, that I was born of God. I've never, as I was telling Brother Jim last night, I've never had a reason to be saved again, because once we're saved, we're always saved when we really meet the Savior. And that's when I found Christ. It was 12:30, January 22nd, 1948. And I've had the joy and rejoicing of God's salvation in my heart ever since. And I only say that as a testimony to the Word of God and for your heart this morning. Now let's think about the passages that we've read. I know they're very familiar to you, but here was a Pharisee that went up into the temple to pray. And I wrote some things down in meditation over the past month about this wonderful chapter. There was a Pharisee and there was a publican. We have two different men. They went to the same place. And you know, people gathered together in so-called churches throughout the world, all going to the same place. And they went for the same reason. And you know, I hope that everyone here that come here this morning is coming here for the same reason. But the Pharisee stood and the publican stood afar off. And these are just some thoughts that I jotted down to help us in our meditation this morning. The Pharisee prayed with himself and the publican smote himself. The Pharisee looked at other men, but the publican looked within. That's very important. The publican looked within. The Pharisee judged the publican. Think of it. The Pharisee judged the publican, but the publican judged himself. The Pharisee boasted of his works. The publican had no works. Isn't that wonderful? He had no works. The Pharisee said, "I," five times. And the publican said, "Me, a sinner." And what a contrast, what a difference in these two men. But you know, the scripture says that one went away justified. And it's the one that took the low place, the one that humbled himself before God, the one that smote his breast. That's the kind of heart I trust that we all have in this room this morning. The publican was like Satan of old, who was cast out of heaven because of his pride and because of wanting to be like God and even above God. And someday he will be cast not out of heaven, but he will be cast into hell. What a solemn thought. And you know, that's just like sinners without Christ. Those will be cast into hell, where the flame dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And these words need to be proclaimed to the world faithfully by God's people. The gospel goes out freely this morning. It's without money and without price. What kind of heart do you have in the meeting, friend, this morning? Do you have that wicked heart like the Pharisee, or do you have that tender, humble heart like the publican of old? Oh, every one of us here that are saved, there was a time when our heart, we got a publican heart. And what kind of heart have you this morning? You know, I believe that the Word of God is for all mankind, and not only for the sinner, but for the saint too. And I believe that Christians can have a heart like a Pharisee. What kind of heart have you, my Christian friend, this morning? You know, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? The Lord said, "I search the heart and try the reins." The heart is the most dangerous possession that a man or a woman has. It's the heart. Out of the heart come all kinds of evils and wars and all kinds of filth and sin. It's not from that comes from without, but that that is in, because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and were sinners by nature and by practice, so very far from God. You know, none of us, if we'd have met the Pharisee, or possibly none of us would liked him very much. He wouldn't have been much of a friend to any of us. He was taken up with himself. And friend, do you know that people that are taken up with themselves, they're not much good to humanity, and they're no good to God. They're no good to the church. They're no good to the gospel's sake. They're no good to, for nothing, a man or woman who is taken up with self. Selfishness even causes men and women to divorce because one mate is selfish. And I know of cases like that. People are taken up with self. The heart is terrible. And you know, we need to kill the old flesh, the old man. We need to be stripped of self. We need to take inventory. Oh yes, the Pharisee took inventory, and he thought self was really good. I remember when we used to take inventory in the store years ago, and we still do, of course, done a little different way. But sometimes things would be hard to count, like bars of soap, and some employees would just estimate them. And others would faithfully and truthfully, honestly count them one by one. We need to take a right inventory of self and see what lies within the chambers of that wicked heart. And you know, when we come up with a total, it should be vanity, it should be nothing, it should be zero. That's how we should consider the old human heart. The Pharisee thought he was pretty good. And he says, I do this, I did that, and I'll do the other. But he was wrong, and he went away not justified before God or for man or for anyone else. But oh, there's much we could say about the Pharisee, and I'm sure you have considered him yourself many times and have kind of in your heart despised such a one as the Pharisee. But let's be careful that as we look at others like the Pharisee did, that we fail to look at self. Now, he even said that I thank thee that I'm not like other men are and like this publican. Oh, that was one of the most terrible things he said, I think, because that publican went away justified. He even had a wrong look and a wrong thought by one of the saints of God. How awful. Think of that. Now, the dear publican, when he came, he stood afar off, and he would not even lift up his head. He took inventory of himself. He took inventory of self, and he found that he was nothing before God. He was nothing before God. You know what happened to the publican? I believe this, that the Holy Spirit of God dealt with him and showed to him his guilt. Oh, friend in the meeting this morning, have you ever had seasons in your life when the Spirit of God swept over your soul and you felt your guiltiness and your unworthiness and your sinnership before a holy God without which thou canst not be saved? Have you had this day, this experience in your lifetime, when you realize you were wicked and you were bankrupt before a holy God, lost, condemned, and about to perish? Well, may we all remember here who are saved, the guilt that swept over our life before we were saved. I will remember, and I'm sure have told you before, that even though young and tender in years, from 6 to 11 for 5 years, it was the guilt and the weight of my sin that brought me to the Heavenly Father and to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the guilt of my sin. I remember when Mother used to say, Well, Norm's a good boy, but within I knew the rascal that lied within. It was the word of God. That's how I knew it. The word of God. And you know, it's only by the word of God that we can rightly get an estimation of what we're really like. Now this publican, he stood afar off. Remember the prodigal son? Remember the prodigal? When the father saw him afar off, he ran to meet him and he embraced and kissed him. Oh friend, you know, without Christ, we're far off. Once far from God and dead in sin. Yes. Have you ever thought you were far off? Have you ever realized that you are far off if you're here without Christ? Well, that's the truth. That's the way you are. Far off. Shut out from the grace of God and the love of God. You know, you have to be lost before you can be saved. You got to be far off before you can be brought nigh. You have to be guilty before you can have your sins forgiven. That's the word of God. The word of God. And you know, we need to learn the word of God. And the word of God is not only good for living, it's good for dying. It's not only good for the sinner, it's good for the saint. It's good, again, we say, for all mankind. He would not lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. Paul said in the epistle, woe is me. Woe is me. Or Isaiah said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. A man of unclean lips. Paul spoke of being crucified with Christ. Being crucified with Christ. And he spoke of the flesh being put to death. He took inventory of himself. And you know, everyone that's going to be in God's glory must take an inventory of thyself and see where you stand before God. I believe this. I believe in the utter depravity of all mankind without God. That man is helpless, he's worthless, and he's bound for hell if he doesn't have a Savior. And that's truth. That's the word of God, as sure as today is. You know, it's the human heart that all of us have it. It's the human heart. We love to boast ourselves up. Well, once when I was a boy, there was two preachers down at home. And you know, somebody said, an adult said, when I was a boy, I don't know whether it was so. I knew the preachers and still know them. Said one of them tried to out-preach the other. They had evangelical meetings, preaching the word every night. Said one of them, they both tried to out-preach others. I've heard another one say that it was his ambition as a preacher to be a great preacher. You know, there's pride, even in preachers, even in Christians, and we need to get rid of it. It's not worth anything. All that we are and have, we owe it, Lord, to Thee. All that we are and have. And we must be careful about the pride. There's pride among the brethren. Remember, I was just reading here in the past few days, John wrote to, in the third epistle of John, he wrote to Gaius. And he called him the well-beloved Gaius. I thought that was so wonderful. And he wished him to be prosper and be in health. And as thy soul prospered, he said. He knew he was right with the Lord, but even wanted him to have physical health, I believe. And then he said, you know, he says, I wrote to the brethren, and Diotrephes, which loveth to have the preeminence. Well, I think it was pride, don't you? And he didn't want the brethren to come. He didn't want the brethren to come there. I think he wanted to take the whole church and be the chief leader. I believe that's what he meant. And then he said, Demetrius, he hath good report among all men. Isn't that lovely? And so you see, by using this, I only say it to reveal what is in the heart of men and women. Some are acceptable with God. Others are rejected by God. Cain had his own way before the Lord. We spoke on that the last time we were here about Cain and Abel. He had his ways before God, but they weren't pleasing to God. And Abel, he offered what was acceptable by God, the blood sacrifice, as we were hearing about this morning. Now, where do we stand? Where do you stand this morning? Do you have a publican heart, or do you have a pharisaical heart? Oh, friend, this morning, may he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. He that exalteth himself shall be humbled down to hell. Now, we were also reading about a blind man, or about a rich, or a ruler. Verse 18, a certain ruler asked the Lord Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, this ruler, he was thinking man, wasn't he? He was a thinking man. Even though he was a ruler, and it says down there at the end, he was very rich. He was rich. Even though he was rich, yet he thought about eternity. He thought about his soul. And he had good thoughts. Had good thoughts. And I believe, even though many men deny it, I believe that they're thinking about their soul many times and they'd like to keep it hid. But you know, God made man in his own image, and the image of God created him. And so man has a soul and a spirit, and it makes him think about his maker and creator, and it makes him think about where he's going after he leaves this world. And this ruler, he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Have you ever asked yourself that question? If you're here and you do not know Christ this morning, you ever ask yourself that question? What about my life after death? Where will I spend eternity? I have a sister who professed to be saved by singing that hymn on Sunday night after the gospel message, "Where will I spend eternity?" The rich man, this ruler rather, he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And you know, the Lord gave him some answers. And you know, he measured up to that pretty good. And I believe that this young man was a desirable man. He wasn't like that Pharisee. I believe he was a likable person. Do you not agree? I believe the Lord Jesus loved him. We know that. He also loved the Pharisee. He loves all the world, everyone. He died for all. And this ruler, he had a pretty good record. If inventory was taken of him, it showed up pretty good. But you know, he lacked something. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found lacking." Every one of us. You know, we don't keep the whole law of God. No man could ever do that except the Lord of glory, God in flesh. He says, "I've done all these things for the sake of time." And he says, "How about the poor? Go sell what thou hast and give to the poor." And he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, our first man, the Pharisee, he had pride of self. And I believe this ruler, he had pride of riches. Pride of riches. You know, I believe everybody can have pride of riches. A rich man can be proud of his riches, which many of them are, those that do not know Christ. But you know, let's not exempt ourselves from the possibility that if we're poor and we don't have money, we might still have pride in riches. We might covet riches. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So let's not say, "Well, now this doesn't belong to me because I don't have money. I'm poor, so I don't have to consider myself with this man." Oh, I think that's wrong. Because you know, most people that don't have money wish they did have money. Yes, they do. And maybe all of us wouldn't be included in that. Because you know money is a terrible thing. It causes wars. It causes disgrace. I believe that word would cover it all on every hand. So even if you're poor, you might be proud of riches. And after all, too, we could say today that there's not many of us very poor. We're living in the land of plenty. And we should be quick to say, well, we're rich in material things. Even though maybe we just barely make expenses meet. And so, this man had the pride of money. And you know, God had a message for him. He thought everything was okay. He answered the tests well. But there was one thing. And you know, friend in the meeting tonight, today, if you're without Christ, there's one thing. There's something. When the searchlight of God goes over your soul, there's something where you're lacking. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you or I are no surprise to this world. We're no surprise to this world. And we're born in Adam, and in Adam all sin, and Adam all died. There's no exemptions here. You might have exemptions from your taxes and take this off and that off and the other off. But when it comes to your sin, be sure that you put it to your account. I am a guilty sinner. And for the Christian, we can say, I was a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. And so we have the pride of life here with a Pharisee, and we have the pride of riches, and we have the publican. He smote on his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then, you know, number four, we had this man who, in 35, who sat by the wayside begging, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. And I believe, as we said before, that he heard about the Lord before he ever came by the disciples of old. And when he came, this is the man that he wanted to see. This is the Savior that he wanted to see. And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And you know, the Lord said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He received his sight. Here was a man that didn't have anything. He didn't pray the prayer he was bankrupt. He didn't pray the prayer that he had everything. He seems to be a man on neutral ground, if you will. And forgive me if I'm wrong. He needed his eyesight. And he went to the right one. He received his eyesight. And you know, he had ears to hear. He didn't have eyes to see, but he had ears to hear. And it's more important that you hear the word of God than you can, you know, they have these films today in some of our churches. And you know, the crowd comes in, and the Christians all come to see a film. Terrifying pictures of the end of time. And it's supposed to get people saved. Well, maybe it does. But remember this, faith cometh by hearing. And he heard the words of love, and he gazed upon the blood, that blind man that day. Now they said about this rich man, we'll go back to that, the rich man, who then can be saved? Because the Lord Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to be saved than for a camel to go by the eye of a needle. But you know, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and it doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, whether we're like the publican or the Pharisee, or the ruler or the beggar, he saved Zacchaeus. And that's why I went ahead and read this morning. Here was a man that was rich. All things are possible with God. He can save the rich man too. But you know, there was something about Zacchaeus. He was like the publican. He was not a proud man. Whoever heard tell of a rich man climbing a tree? Not many rich men do it. No, Not many rich men do it. But he climbed a tree to see the Lord Jesus. He had heard about him, no doubt. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and called him by name, and the Lord knows your name too. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. The hairs of our head are numbered. And so, we read that Zacchaeus was rich, but you know what? He was willing to forsake his riches because he said, if I've taken anything from any man by wrong, he says, I restore him fourfold. He forsook his riches. You know, that's a good sign when people are willing to give up their self and their riches. And you know, Christian, we need to learn to give to God of our money. When a God saves your heart, he'll get your pocketbook too. And it's a ministry that is needed today. We need to give to the Lord. How much do you give to the Lord? Have you set aside systematically for him? You young people, do you give to the Lord? I remember when I was a teenager, way back 1950, and I know to this day how much I gave to the Lord, and it was quite an amount for times like them. And you know, if you give to the Lord what you have, in days to come, you'll be able to give and give to God. Now, where do you stand this morning, friend, and all folks here? What kind of heart have you? We trust that you have a heart like that publican. He smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever done that? Do you remember a time in your life when you came to Calvary, when you came to Christ and admitted your guilt before him, that you were nothing? That's the only way to be saved. Think of that Pharisee. We never read of him getting saved. He'll be in hell forever. We never read of that dear young ruler coming to Christ. He'll be lost forever. But the blind man will see. The publican will see. And Zacchaeus will see. And so in our reading this morning, two were lost and three were saved. You know, Mrs. Folk, we were driving up in the snow last night, and she says, well, the Lord will reward you for coming up in all this snow tonight. And she says, maybe two souls will get saved. Well, generally we just say one. She said, two souls maybe get saved. Well, if there's two here that are lost, two can be saved by the grace of God and by heeding to his precious word. And you know, it is not impossible with God to save your soul today. May we sing number 217, Come Every Soul by Sin Oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. And so on. 217.